I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's August 11th, and we have a lot to talk about. And one of the things that people affected by MS seem to talk about every year is the flu vaccine. And the question is always the same. Is it safe for someone with MS to get a flu shot? And this year, that question is compounded and multiplied by the COVID-19 pandemic. Is it safe for someone with MS to get a flu vaccination during the pandemic? Is it safe for someone with MS to get a COVID-19 vaccination when one becomes available? And what about the impact of MS disease-modifying therapies on the effectiveness of any vaccination? My guest, Dr. John Ciotti, is here to help us get to the bottom of all of these questions. Dr. Ciotti is a board-certified neurologist at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri. He's just had an article published in the journal Multiple Sclerosis and Related Disorders, and Dr. Ciotti's article reviews all of the scientific literature that talks about the effects of MS disease-modifying therapies on immune responses to vaccinations. So he's well-equipped to shed some light and share some very straightforward information about what people affected by MS need to know about vaccinations. But before we get to my conversation with Dr. John Ciotti, there are a few other things that you should know about. The National MS Society conducted a survey to measure the ways that the COVID-19 pandemic was affecting people living with MS. And the survey results show that the top three concerns that people with MS have are the risk of exposure to COVID-19, safety concerns about returning to the community after stay-at-home orders are lifted, and having access to healthcare providers and medications. 17% of the survey respondents said that they had altered the use of their MS therapy due to the pandemic, and 44% had already accessed telehealth services for their MS care. 24% of the survey respondents reported that they were worried about their financial security. The number one request among the survey respondents was for more information on the effect of COVID-19 on people with MS who were on disease-modifying therapies. That's a subject that I've returned to a few times during the pandemic. One of the realities that the pandemic has created is that we're forced to learn about COVID-19 in real time. So medical advice is getting updated by the most recent data. And if you're like many of the respondents to the MS Society survey, well, then I'll invite you to listen to episode 148 of Real Talk MS, where Dr. Aaron Miller provides the latest guidance on COVID-19 and each of the available disease-modifying therapies. Dr. Miller is the chair of the National MS Society's National Medical Advisory Committee and the medical director of the Corinne Goldsmith Dickinson Center for Multiple Sclerosis at Mount Sinai in New York. So this updated guidance is information that you can trust. If you'd like to listen or re-listen to that episode of Real Talk MS, you can point your web browser to realtalkms.com/148, and I'll include a link to that podcast episode in today's show notes. Speaking of disease-modifying therapies, data from two phase 3 clinical trials of ofatumumab showed that it outperformed Aubagio at lowering the frequency of relapses and preventing disability progression among study participants with relapsing forms of MS. Now, the two clinical trials enrolled more than 1,800 participants with relapsing remitting MS and active secondary progressive MS, and the trials took place in 385 sites in 37 different countries. Half of the trial participants were given ofatumumab, and half of the participants were treated with Aubagio. Both groups of patients were followed for up to 2.5 years, and the patient group that was being treated with ofatumumab showed an annual relapse rate that was significantly lower than the group being treated with Aubagio. Patients treated with ofatumumab also showed a significant decrease in both T1 and T2 MRI lesions. And as a quick review, a T1 lesion indicates an area of ongoing inflammation in the brain, and a T2 lesion shows an area of damage to the brain structure, whether there's inflammation or not. Ofatumumab is known commercially as Arzerra, and it's already approved in the United States to treat certain blood cancers. Arzerra is currently under review by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration and the European Medicines Agency as a potential treatment for relapsing remitting and active secondary progressive MS. FDA approval is expected next month, and EMA approval is expected in early 2021. What makes Arzerra particularly interesting is that it will be the first B-cell therapy that's administered by an under-the-skin injection using an auto-injector pen instead of requiring an infusion at a hospital or infusion center. And given the current global health crisis created by COVID-19, being able to get treatment with a high-efficacy disease-modifying therapy from the comfort and safety of your own home is probably going to strike a very positive note for a lot of people. We'll keep you updated as ofatumumab, or Arzerra, makes its way through the final steps in receiving its FDA approval. And if you'd like to review the details of this study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. People living with MS don't have to sit around waiting for the next MS medication. There are things that they can start doing today that will have a positive impact on their disease management. And one of those things is exercise. In previous episodes of Real Talk MS, we've talked with experts about how regular exercise has been shown to improve the overall quality of life for people living with MS. But just in case you've been waiting for more evidence that exercise is perhaps even more beneficial than anyone realized, well, I think your moment has arrived. A research team at Tel Aviv University in Israel looked at whether the actual volume of the areas of the brain that are typically affected by MS correlated with physical activity. So they evaluated 153 MS patients, and they found that 77 of the study participants could be considered physically active, and 76 of the participants were insufficiently active. The researchers found that the physically active group had better cognition, better information processing speed, and better cognitive motor skills when they compared them to the inactive group. But as they say on late night television, wait, there's more. The research team found that the physically active group of MS patients had experienced less brain atrophy in the subcortical region of the brain, the parts of the brain that control cognitive, affective, and social functions. So to sum it up, the group of study participants who regularly participated in everyday leisure time physical activities actually preserved key areas of their brain. Now, I remember hearing my wife's neurologist explaining brain atrophy in MS patients, saying, "The thing about brain atrophy is when it's gone, it's gone." And now we know that regular exercise, everyday physical activity, has been shown to prevent that atrophy, to preserve important areas of the brain that manage cognitive processes. As I said a moment ago, if you've been waiting for one more bit of evidence telling you that exercise is a good thing for people living with MS, here it is. Now, if you'd like to review the details of the study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. The MS Society published new guidelines for physical activity for everyone living with MS. The guidelines were released in May along with videos to guide people with MS at all disability levels through stretching, aerobic, and breathing exercises. So you don't even need to get to a gym to get started. You'll find links to the new guidelines and the new videos in today's show notes. China has a population of about 1.4 billion people. And when it comes to MS, there's never been much in the way of information about the incidence of multiple sclerosis in China until now. Now we have our first clue. A research team at the China National Clinical Research Center for Neurological Diseases has conducted the first nationwide hospital-based study to estimate the incidence and hospitalization burden of MS in China. And just as a means of quick review, incidence refers to the proportion or the rate of people who will develop a disease within a specific time frame. So the research team reviewed an administrative database of the National Hospital Quality Monitoring System, which covers all 1,665 hospitals throughout mainland China, and found that between 2016 and 2018, 15,060 MS patients accounted for 27,336 hospital admissions. And of those 15,060 patients who received hospital treatment in those 2 years, 9,879 were newly diagnosed. Now, of course, this study would have missed any newly diagnosed MS patient in China who didn't happen to be treated at a hospital. But the incidence rate reported works out to about 95 new cases of MS diagnosed each week in China, compared with the United States, where about 200 new MS cases are diagnosed each week. Now, if you'd like to review the methodology and results of the first MS incidence study in China, you'll find a link in today's show notes. The COVID-19 pandemic has made us all keenly aware of the important role that vaccines play in keeping us safe and healthy. But a lot of people living with MS wrestle with sometimes unnecessary worries about how a vaccination might affect them or how their disease-modifying therapy might affect their vaccination. My guest today is Dr. John Ciotti, and Dr. Ciotti is here to clear up a lot of that confusion. We're talking about flu shots and other vaccinations, and we're even talking about how a COVID-19 vaccine, a vaccine that doesn't even exist today, is likely going to affect people with MS who are on disease-modifying therapies. This is a conversation you don't want to miss, because the perfect antidote to worrying is getting your hands on good, credible information. In just a moment, we'll meet my guest, Dr. John Ciotti. My guest today is Dr. John Ciotti. Dr. Ciotti is a board-certified neurologist at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri. And Dr. Ciotti has just published an article that provides an overview of the scientific literature on the impact of MS disease-modifying therapies on our immune response to vaccinations. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Ciotti.
Thank you, John.
The COVID-19 pandemic has created a worldwide awareness of the role that vaccines can play in keeping us safe and healthy. Now, people living with MS often have to wade through both information and misinformation about whether they should get one vaccination or another. So before we talk about the effects of a possible COVID-19 vaccine, I'd like to ask you a question that's a subject of lots of conversation and too much speculation every year. Should people living with MS, including those who are on a disease-modifying therapy, should they get an annual flu shot?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, John. This is an incredibly important and especially relevant nowadays topic to discuss. One thing to be very clear about is that preventing these sorts of infections through the use of vaccines is a really key part of the medical care for people living with MS. The infections that vaccines can prevent can lead to significant complications for people living with MS, especially those who unfortunately have more severe disability. In general, it's recommended that people with MS receive vaccines according to the standard vaccine schedule. But specifically regarding the flu vaccine, unless there is a very specific reason not to, like a prior severe allergic reaction, you should always receive the flu vaccine every year.
I'm just curious, do you have any idea why there's still so much uncertainty about this among people who are affected by MS?
Gosh, this has been a subject that's really fraught with debate. I mean, there, for a long time, we thought that there was a chance that vaccines actually contributed to the risk of developing MS. There's been this history of associations that have been made between a vaccine and subsequent development of MS, but all of those associations have been subsequently refuted. They've taken lots of large-scale clinical trials to do so, but now we have really good evidence that vaccines don't increase the risk of developing MS. Science is an inexact science sometimes, and we just, as our knowledge of a particular subject evolves, sometimes our recommendations evolve. I think that because we still don't have a definitive answer for what causes MS, we know that it's linked to the immune system in some way, and vaccines interact with the immune system. Some people do try to put two and two together when maybe they don't necessarily do so. But fortunately, we do have the evidence at this point to say that the flu vaccine is something that's safe and certainly recommended for people living with MS.
Are there any special considerations that people living with MS should keep in mind in deciding whether to get any particular vaccination?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think to get at the answer, it's important to have a basic understanding of the different types of vaccines. So there are a lot of different ways that we can expose a person to a virus or bacteria in a way that won't actually make them sick. This is the purpose of a vaccination, to train the immune system to recognize that pathogen so it's ready to respond if you encounter the pathogen again in the environment. So one way that we do this is with what we call an inactivated vaccine. This takes the entire pathogen, whether it's a virus or a bacteria, and in the lab, we're able to kill that with either chemicals, heat, radiation, some way so that it's very safe. You know, there's no live virus present, so there's not a risk of developing the infection. Examples of this type of vaccine include the seasonal influenza vaccine, as well as the polio vaccine. The flip side of that is live attenuated vaccines, and these vaccines use the entire pathogen, again, a bacteria or a virus, and it's weakened in the laboratory, but it is still alive in some sense. And because it's a living organism, it's the most direct correlate for actually encountering the pathogen in the environment. So your immune system gets trained really well with these types of vaccines. You get long-term immunity with just one or two doses. But there is a risk with these types of live attenuated vaccines in those with weakened immune systems. Generally, those with an intact immune system can recognize and fend off these types of, live attenuated viruses. But if the immune system is suppressed, and in particular on specific MS disease modifying therapies, the virus in the vaccine can reactivate just as if you were infected in the environment. So some of these disease-modifying therapies include things like Gilenya, Mayzent, Ocrevus, as well as Lemtrada. These immunosuppressive disease-modifying therapies can impact not just the safety of a live attenuated virus, but also the effectiveness.
Can any specific vaccine cause an MS flare or relapse?
Good question. That's a question that I get all the time. At this point, we don't have evidence to show or suggest that vaccine use causes MS flares or causes MS to get worse. The strength of that available evidence is still pretty low. But in general, we typically recommend that if you're having a flare, to consider waiting until it's passed before receiving a vaccine.
You know, people living with MS often wonder whether their disease-modifying therapy will actually lessen the effectiveness of a particular vaccine. And I know this relates to your just-published article. And by the way, we're going to have a link to that article in today's show notes for our listeners. And if you happen to have downloaded the Real Talk MS app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, well, you're going to find a copy of that article under bonus content. So that'll be there waiting for you. But what do we know about the effects of disease-modifying therapies on a person's response to a vaccination?
So this is a fantastic question. And we looked back at some of the scientific studies that have been done in people living with MS on the immune responses to a vaccine. We looked at vaccines of all various types. So things like inactivated vaccines and live attenuated vaccines, like we talked about, as well as others. And we specifically looked at studies that included people with MS on different disease modifying therapies to see how these DMTs impacted a vaccine's effectiveness. In people treated with beta interferon, so these are medications like Avonex or Rebif, Betaseron, it looks like immune responses to vaccines are preserved. And that looks to be pretty universal across different types of vaccines as well. So we already know that these vaccines are safe, and we're pretty sure that in folks on Avonex, Betaseron, Rebif, and other interferons, that these vaccines maintain their effectiveness as well. Looking at other disease-modifying therapies like Tecfidera, it looks like vaccine responses are pretty well preserved, but the data here is a little bit more limited. When we start talking about other disease-modifying therapies, things like Copaxone, Aubagio, Gilenya, Mayzent, and Tysabri, it looks like vaccine responses are a little bit reduced to varying degrees. This doesn't necessarily mean that the vaccines were ineffective. I just want to be very clear about that. The majority of these studies actually showed that the immune responses still reached a level of protection, so people were still protected. But maybe the antibody response, or how we measure how well an immune system has responded to a vaccine, is a little bit blunted in those studies in comparison to those who weren't taking a DMT. One important consideration to make here is also the timing of vaccination. That's going to play an important role in people treated with Lemtrada. One really important note to make regards those who are taking Ocrevus. So because of the way Ocrevus works in targeting the B cells, it really limits the type of vaccine response that's being tested. Now, not all vaccine responses are created equal. A lot of the studies that we were able to find and looking back looked at something called humoral immunity. So that's the antibody response that the immune system develops in response to a vaccine. And that's specifically exactly where Ocrevus works. So we were almost setting Ocrevus up to fail in checking just that particular vaccine response. There are other ways that the immune system responds to vaccines, and the jury is still out on that data.
A moment ago, you mentioned that people living with MS should get their annual influenza vaccination, their flu shot, and this year's flu season is going to hit us during the COVID-19 pandemic. Does that change things from a public health perspective? Are there other things that people, especially people with MS, should keep in mind?
So, you know, one thing to know is that, the flu vaccine will not necessarily change your risk of contracting this coronavirus, the SARS-CoV-2, that's the virus that causes COVID-19. These are two different viruses, and so although there are some similarities, especially in the symptoms that we see, there are also some key differences. First and foremost among those, we have a vaccine right now for influenza, and right now we just don't have that for SARS-CoV-2 yet. We think that the flu vaccine is really important for people living with MS, and especially this year. We certainly don't want folks to contract influenza and then need to be exposed to healthcare facilities and that sort of thing. Anything that we can do to reduce our potential exposure to COVID-19, we should certainly be doing.
Over the last few weeks, we've been hearing more and more about clinical trials getting underway for a number of different potential COVID-19 vaccines. What are we hearing about those possible vaccines, and do we anticipate that they're going to be safe for people with MS?
So to take a bit of a step back and just, you know, talk about the general development of vaccines, I mean, in general, these take many years. The effort to develop an Ebola vaccine took over 4 years. Every new vaccine that we develop really has to be rigorously tested and pass through multiple phases of clinical trials to prove that it's safe and effective in a large population before being approved. Each step along the way is very expensive. And if a vaccine fails at any stage of those clinical trials, it's really back to the drawing board. And so traditionally, the development of vaccines has been, you know, let's try one, see if it works, and if it doesn't, then we'll move forward with another. The development of the SARS-CoV-2 vaccine has been really different. I mean, the scale of this effort is completely unprecedented. Instead of testing just one vaccine at a time, as of last week, there were 26 vaccines that were already being evaluated in clinical trials around the world. Another, you know, 130 or so were in preclinical evaluation, but not quite to the clinical trial stage. But just the fact that we're getting so many rolls of the dice here, I think there's a really good chance that at least one of these vaccines makes it all the way through those clinical trials. It's still too soon to predict which one or which ones are going to be successful or when that vaccine is going to be ready. Some of the vaccine types, though, that are closest to being approved, the ones that are in phase two, phase three clinical trials right now, are inactivated virus vaccines, like we talked about before, safe for patients, people living with MS. Others that are closer to being approved are subunit vaccines. These are vaccines where we use just a very small portion of the viral particle to stimulate an immune response. These are felt to be safe for people living with MS as well. There's no risk of developing an infection because you're not actually getting the entire virus. There's another class of vaccines that's also being developed right now called nucleic acid vaccines. These are RNA or DNA vaccines that use the actual genetic code within the virus to stimulate the immune response. Again, no risk to people living with MS. This type of vaccine is felt to be safe because there's no risk of actually developing the infection associated with it. You're not getting the whole virus. That said, these types of nucleic acid vaccines are very new. They haven't been tested specifically in people living with MS, but that doesn't mean that they're going to be unsafe. Again, because you're only getting the RNA or DNA associated with the virus, there's not a risk of actually contracting the infection.
Dr. John Ciotti, thank you for adding a very high level of transparency and really increasing our grasp of what I know is sometimes a tricky topic for people affected by MS. And thanks for talking with me today.
Absolutely, John. Thanks for having me.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/154. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or text. And before we close things out, I'd like to invite you to leave a rating and review for Real Talk MS by visiting realtalkms.com/review. It will take you less than 2 minutes, and it would mean a lot to me. And I also want to remind you that we're just a few days away from Dunk MS. This year, Dunk MS is a virtual event, and you can virtually attend for free. It's happening Saturday, August 15th at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Facebook Live and YouTube Live. If you like watching incredibly acrobatic and athletic basketball, you have to check out some of the best basketball dunkers in the world while Dunk MS raises money for MS research. You can get all the details and register for this free event at dunkms.com. I don't think I have to tell anyone listening to this podcast that the COVID-19 pandemic has intensified and in some cases multiplied the challenges of living with MS. From having difficulty affording MS medications to adjusting to increased isolation to coping with the added uncertainty of wondering how you or your family might be personally affected by COVID-19. More than ever before, people living with MS need access to reliable information, support, and connection. We're witnessing that even during a pandemic, MS doesn't stop, and neither does the National MS Society. So they've established the National MS Society COVID-19 Response Fund to ensure that the Society can continue meeting the urgent and expanding needs of the MS community during these unprecedented times. During the pandemic, we've seen the MS Society create virtual programming and virtual support groups literally on the fly so that no one has to face MS alone. They've created resources and provided information so that doctors and nurses can deliver the very best care. They've continued to amplify the voices of the MS movement to influence critical public policy decisions, and they've never stopped advancing research to find cures for MS. I know that these are financially tough times for a lot of people, but I'm asking that as you're able, please make a donation to support the National MS Society. To donate, you can text the word GIVE to 68686, and you'll get a link right to the MS Society's COVID-19 Response Fund webpage. Or if you prefer, I've created an online shortcut to get you to that same webpage, so you can visit realtalkms.com/COVID-19-response-fund and make your donation. You'll find that link in today's show notes, but however you choose to contribute, please contribute today. It's never been more important. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.